Hello, and welcome to our program, All About Pets, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Tammy Frazee, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from All About Pets from bestfriends.org here on Owl Radio. So the first one is all about a kitten who loves her spa baths. Little Liv didn't just tolerate weeks of daily Epsom salt baths for a skin infection, she thoroughly enjoyed them. This is by Sarah Thornton, February 23rd, 2023. There is not a whole lot that can deter Liv from having a good time. If she decides it'll be fun to bring her little mouse toy to the top of a cabinet, she will climb, crawl, and hop over any obstacle to get there. Or, better yet, if there's a person around, she'll just act cute until they pick her up and put her where she wants to go. And she is very good at being cute. Liv can purr and play through it all, which seemingly seems to have helped when an uncommon skin infection meant several weeks of treatment at the Best Friends Animal Clinic. While veterinary staff worked on helping her heal, Liv was quite content to soak in all the attention, literally. Not long after Liv arrived at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, she and her litter mates developed a bacterial infection. The kittens were seen by veterinarians for swelling under their jaws caused by Streptococcus, the same type of bacteria that results in strep throat in humans. It was an easy treatment for most of them. Veterinarians started the kittens on a round of antibiotics, and they went right back to tumbling and playing tag without a worry in the world. But Liv had another medical surprise in store. Overnight, the skin around her hind end opened up. When caregivers came in the next morning, they were shocked to find Liv walking around with large wounds on her back legs and tail. And although she seemed relatively unbothered by the situation, she was rushed right back to the clinic. Testing revealed that it was different, it was a much less common bacteria that had caused this second infection. Veterinarians put Liv on a new antibiotic to fight back, along with a pain medication. The antibiotics would work on clearing out the existing infection, but to keep Liv's wounds clean and help them heal, she needed a different type of treatment. One that most cats would probably not have enjoyed much. But again, Liv is a master of having a good time. So when the daily Epsom salt soaks started, it was like spa day every day for the contented kitten. She couldn't have cared less, says veterinary technician Ranny Pierce. When the warm tub of salty water came out, Ranny says Liv would get super comfortable and just hang out. It was the cutest thing we'd ever seen. With her front legs propped up on the edge of her kitten-sized hot tub, Liv melted right into her soaks. She probably could have stayed all day in the comforting warmth and soothing salts, but water grows cold and kittens want to play, so after about 10 minutes, Liv would be ready to climb out and continue with her day. She had her own important kitten business to deal with, after all. Liv was at the clinic for 6 weeks of treatment as her skin healed, and her snowy white fur began to grow back. While she loved playing with the staff there, they still had plenty of other work to attend to, and 6 weeks is a long time for a playful kitten to go without a feline friend. So when another young cat named Panjiri came to the clinic due to an eye ulcer, the timing couldn't have been better. Because neither kitten's illness was contagious, Ranny says, we ended up putting the two of them together, and they did really well. They had little play dates. The two kittens would sniff, swat, and dance around each other as they played off in their own little world. As fun as it was for the pair of kittens, it was also an important part of keeping both healthy and happy. Stress and activity are such big factors when it comes to healing, and having a playmate meant both Liv and Panjiri were handling their extended stay like champs, not to mention cats purr at a frequency that may help promote healing, like their very own built-in first aid kit, and there was plenty of purring to go around. Both kittens healed and got a clean bill of health from the veterinary team and were able to move out of the hospital. Liv's siblings, who'd all long since recovered from their original strep infection, had been adopted quickly. And once Liv was all healed up, it didn't take much longer for her to catch the attention of another family. She purred and played and blinked her big golden eyes up at them, and it was a done deal. Just a few weeks after her last dip in the healing hot tub, Liv was on her way to soak up a whole house full of love. Knowing this little kitten, her new family will have a lot to live, laugh, love about. Cute story. Lisa Zarek supports new volunteers, coaches foster caregivers, and connects with shelters all without leaving home. This is by Nicole Hamilton, April 17th, 2023. One day, nearly two decades ago, Lisa Zarek was cruising at 30,000 feet when she opened an in-flight magazine and saw an ad for Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. So impressed with what she learned about Best Friends, once she was back home, she became a supporter. She couldn't have known at the time, but that one ad sparked the beginning of her long journey volunteering to help animals in her own community and beyond. Since then, Lisa has volunteered countless hours at animal shelters near her home, first in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, and now in Florida and upstate New York, the two places she currently calls home. She's taken classes on animal welfare, and she's made many visits to the sanctuary, a place she calls transformational. There, amid the red rocks and quiet canyons, she recharges and returns home, ready to take on new roles to help animals. She's also been the calm, supportive voice on hundreds of phone calls with foster caregivers. She was one of the first volunteers with the Best Friends Foster Mentor Program, which she would eventually help lead, as part of the National Operations Volunteers and Ambassadors, NOVA, a team. They are a group of remote volunteers from across the nation who directly support the work of Best Friends, including at the sanctuary. In her role within the Foster Mentor Program, Lisa coaches foster volunteers on how to feed newborn kittens. As a behavior support volunteer, she talks to adopters whose dogs need a little extra behavior help in their first few months at home. And she offers guidance to staff as they continue to streamline the Foster Mentor Program as needs change. Her kindness has helped many foster caregivers who have benefited from her helping hand, says Christine Colvin, Best Friends National Community Engagement Coordinator. Lisa was also the first volunteer the Best Friends Embed team reached out to for help gathering important data for the spay-neuter clinic at the Polk County Animal Shelter, which is near her home outside of Tampa. And recently, the former finance executive went through extensive training and is currently working to collect important data from the Louisiana shelters that are on Best Friends Missing Data Shelter List as part of the Best Friends Strategic Shelter Engagement Program. In this role, Lisa reaches out to shelters, encourages them to join the Best Friends Network Partner Program, and asks them to share their data. This data is critical as it helps determine how close the country is to reaching no-kill by 2025. Lisa's kindness, empathy, and communication skills are so valuable, says Kim Beck, Best Friends Senior National Volunteer Specialist. She's been able to build relationships with staff members at these shelters and talk to them about the importance of sharing their intake and outcome data with us. Learning more about Lisa and what inspires her to volunteer is in the interview below. What do you love most about being a volunteer? I love helping people understand how they can enrich the lives of animals in their care. I've been working with shelters in Florida and Louisiana that really needed help to save more animals in those communities. Best Friends has done that, and I am pleased to have played a small role in their success by processing adoptions or helping input medical records or other information. My husband and I also signed up to be part of the Best Friends National Transport Team, and it makes me feel great to know that I'm helping to save the lives of those animals. I continue to mentor foster care providers around the country, and that has also led to working with people who are considering returning their pets. Best Friends, again, is being so creative by not only providing support to people who foster pets, but also support for adopters to help those animals remain in their homes. What would you tell others who are thinking of volunteering? Best Friends really epitomizes the word kind. There is no other animal welfare organization that I have volunteered for where many of the original founders are still so actively involved and where staff and other volunteers are so kind to each other. Best Friends wants to collaborate with everyone to try to stop the killing of animals in this country. I also feel like I am given many different opportunities to help. I can choose what to do from a variety of tasks, and most importantly, I can work when it is most convenient for me. Even if you can volunteer an hour or two a week, it really makes a difference. I usually tell people to visit the sanctuary if they can. It feels like a very spiritual place and will have a lasting impact. It will have a lasting impact on you. Since becoming a volunteer, what have you learned? Do you see things differently now? And if so, how? Wow, that is a great question. I learn something new every day for sure about people and about animals. I think I do see things differently too, because I have learned more about what is going on in this country in terms of animal welfare. Best Friends was started by a group of friends who just wanted to save animals, and one of the things that they had to do was ask for help. That meant that they were told no a lot. And Best Friends still continues to ask communities to help, and they still get told no a lot. But it does not discourage Best Friends from asking for everyone to help to try to save more animals. I volunteer in so many different roles at Best Friends because someone asked me to help. I think there are a lot of opportunities for people to help animals in their local communities and at the national level. There are just too many animals still being killed in this country simply because there's no place for them. It breaks my heart, and I feel really motivated to do what I can to help. Best Friends has done a great job of organizing its volunteers at the national level through the NOVA group. But there are also other volunteer groups focused on various projects to try to save more animals. For instance, right now I am also active in a shelter engagement project to see if we can get more shelters to sign up as network partners. In terms of your volunteer work for Best Friends, what are you most proud of and why? Ooh, that's a tough one. I really enjoy my work as a foster mentor. I feel I have made a difference in the lives of many foster care providers. I have introduced positive reinforcement training methods to everyone I speak with. For instance, I always recommend that people use food to train their pets each time they feed them. The pets my husband and I foster rarely eat from a bowl. They earn their food by learning simple behaviors such as sit. I also do a lot of handling exercises with them just using their food. Who doesn't have 5 minutes to train their cat or dog at mealtimes? I love to educate people in general about animal care and enrichment. Tell us about your favorite volunteer moment. Oh, there are so many. We fostered a very fearful dog for 13 weeks. She was completely shut down, but at the end of her stay with us, I took her to our local TV station who did an adopt this pet segment on her, and she was adopted into a great family. I feel proud that she became a different dog in my care, and I will never forget her. Tell us something we don't know about yourself. My husband and I love country music and attend concerts when we can. We are blessed to be survivors of the Las Vegas shooting in 2017 after we spent several days volunteering with Best Friends. Something like that really puts everything in perspective. Do you have pets? Tell us about them. Toby, my beloved dog, passed away in early 2020. He was 16 and a half, and I miss him every day. We have not been ready to adopt another because we foster so many puppies and kittens, but we have recently started to look. What does volunteering mean to you, and why do you do it? I view volunteering as my second career. I love working with animals, but in my volunteer work, I'm really helping people to help animals. Join the National Operations Support Team and volunteer to lend a virtual hand to help animals find homes from the comfort of your own home. Next story. This is a little bit of a different story, not about a dog or a cat. It's about a bird. So, determined cockatoo climbs into the lap of luxury. Simon's shyness was keeping him from getting adopted, but when he spotted the family he wanted, he made sure they weren't leaving without him. This is by Sarah Thornton, March 23rd, 2023. Simon has always been interested in people. From the time he first arrived at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, he would sing and dance and call out to passers-by for attention, as long as he felt safe and comfortable in his enclosure. But outside of his familiar confines, he wasn't quite so confident. He'd spent the first several years of his life in a pet store, and then went to a home where his person suffered a major stroke. All this meant that for the better part of his two decades of life, the energetic cockatoo had been cage-bound. He simply wasn't used to being handled, getting out to explore, or even playing with toys. The sanctuary then was understandably a bit of a culture shock for him. Caregivers at Parrot Garden took it slowly with Simon. He figured out how to play with, or at least have fun pulling apart, his toys pretty quickly, but leaving his enclosure and being handled took a bit longer. Even though he saw and interacted with his caregivers every day, it was almost a year before he warmed up to them enough to step up onto someone's arm instead of backing away into a corner when his door opened. That was his response when meeting potential adopters, too. But as they say, it's really the parrot who picks the person. And when Simon met the people he wanted to go home with, he was more than ready to step outside of his comfort zone and cause them to fall in love. Daniel and Samantha Vickers had always been cockatoo fans, but there hadn't been a bird in their life for several years, not since their children were very little. Every now and then, though, their 7-year-old daughter would comment on how she missed having a bird. She remembered seeing pictures of the family's cockatoo from when she was just a baby. And once the idea got stuck in Daniel's head, he couldn't let it go. The family lives a little over an hour away from the sanctuary, so it was easy to decide where to go to find a new feathery friend. When we got to the cockatoo room, that's where my heart just melted, Daniel says. It felt like Simon was competing for attention, Daniel says with a laugh. He was trying to talk to Samantha, and she wasn't paying enough attention to him. So he climbed down from his enclosure and walked over to her. Simon's boldness shocked his caregivers. While he'd started hanging out on top of his enclosure, he'd never gotten down on the ground like that, especially not to march right up to someone he'd only just met. And when Samantha reached down to have him step up, he hopped right into her hand, earning another gasp from the onlookers who'd taken so long to get him to that point with them. A volunteer who knew Simon then suggested to Daniel, "Put your chest up against his head." Confused at first, Daniel did as she said, and then melted even more when Simon snuggled right up against him. Simon had turned his charm up to an 11. He'd decided these people were his, and he was absolutely going to leave with them. Daniel and Samantha took time over lunch to discuss, but they'd been completely won over. Simon was going to get his way. If he was shy, it's news to us, Daniel says, many months after bringing Simon home. The big white bird has completely settled in with his new family, happy to snuggle up with them on the couch or let their daughter massage his feet when he's resting in his enclosure. Simon is included in everything from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed. He joins Daniel in the shower, and he has a perch next to the dining table, where the family's two dogs wait patiently for him to drop any treats that he decides he doesn't want. When the big tortoise, Bowser, lets himself inside, yes, they also have a pet tortoise, and yes, he knows how to open the door all on his own, Simon is the first to alert everyone with a loud yell, and he keeps a close eye on the cats, watching them wherever they go. When the weather is nice, Simon joins his family outside to puff up his feathers in the sun and people watch. We have a concrete wall and some chairs out there, and he just loves sitting and watching all the kids, Daniel says. We live on a cul-de-sac, so there's not many cars, but when a car from the neighborhood comes by, Simon greets them. Hi. Hello. Hi. He was even out there with me during Halloween, handing out candy. He loved it. He dances to Michael Jackson and adores the song, I Love It, by Icona Pop. He'll serenade the family during dinner and at bedtime when Daniel and Samantha sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to him as they tuck him in for the night. Simon sings along sleepily. For Simon and for his new family, life is good. There is a particular couch in the living room he'd very much like to chew up, but fortunately it's easy to distract him from it. I feel very fortunate that he got to come home with us, Samantha says. He's a really great guy. Yeah, I'm happy, Daniel agrees, and the smiles are clear in all their voices because, of course, Simon is also chattering his excitement in the background. He's pretty pleased with his choice as well. Cute, cute story. Okay, next story. Moose's energy and anxiety proved too much for most people to handle, but today he's in a home where he's flourishing. By Lindsay Hutton, April 28th, 2023. Moose loves to play fetch for hours. He loves playing in the pool, too. Sometimes he combines his two loves and plays fetch from the pool. When he was at Best Friends in Los Angeles, he had many fans. Volunteers considered him a dream hiking buddy, and he loved being around people and being on the move. He was just 4 years old when he came to Best Friends, sweet, happy, and bursting with energy. And so he quickly was adopted. But then he was brought back to Best Friends. He got adopted again. And was brought back again, and again, and again, and again. Moose was such a sweetheart, so social and friendly with people and other dogs, that Anna Polito, Best Friends coordinator of life-saving outcomes in Los Angeles, figured the second adoption would be the charm, then the third had to be. But it wasn't. He went through five adoptions and subsequent returns in a year. What was going wrong? There wasn't really any big behavioral reason, says Anna. Moose was a really happy, great dog, but he was a dog who needed a long time to settle after a transition. In other words, Moose didn't handle change well. A combination of separation anxiety in a home and general anxiety overall, along with a sensitive temperament, made adjusting to any new routine challenging for Moose. Moose was bursting with energy, and that coupled with his anxiety sometimes meant he had more energy than people were prepared for. And although Moose is social and appeared to like other dogs, his combination of high energy and anxiety caused him to guard people or toys from other dogs in the home. Anna and the Best Friends staff recognized that Moose needed a lot of mental stimulation and exercise, and that meant he needed a lot of training in addition to those hours of fetch. So finding the right people for Moose would mean finding people who could provide the level of training and exercise that Moose needed. In the meantime, Moose's stress increased each time he left Best Friends and came back. Highly nervous when left alone, he barked constantly. He was so on edge that he couldn't wait for a staff member to set his bowl of food down to eat. He slurped up half his dinner while the bowl was still midair. To counter this behavior and give him mental stimulation, Anna and the other caregivers worked with Moose on impulse control. Feeding him was one such training opportunity, and because Moose was attentive and intelligent, he picked up on the training quickly, learning to wait a moment for food or to go places and so on. It took some time, but the training helped Moose considerably. Eventually, people were able to walk by Moose without him barking. He could finally settle on his bed. That was something Catherine Stoney noticed right away when she came to Best Friends looking for a dog to adopt as a companion for her family's dog. The Stoneys had lost their 12-year-old dog, an integral part of their family and best friend to their younger dog. When they went to Best Friends to adopt, they had Moose already in mind. "We loved that Moose had a calm and sweet demeanor," Catherine says. And it was that calm, sweet demeanor and the fact that Moose played easily with their dog, along with knowing that for the past 3 months no one had taken an interest in adopting him, that did it. The Stoneys were Moose's sixth adoption, the one that would stick. Best Friends staff had made them aware of Moose's anxiety and coached them on how to help him. To ease Moose's separation anxiety while they were at work, the Stoneys turned on some white noise, blocked the windows so that Moose couldn't see movement outside, and made him a comfy bed to curl up in. That, plus his new dog buddy to play with, helped him relax. When they came home, they took Moose out for fetch and a walk. After the first 2 weeks, his anxiety ebbed. He embraced his new routine, which involved his favorite thing, fetch. Not just from the pool, but on the beach too. Beach Sundays are his favorite as he loves to run along the waves and swim in the water, says Catherine. Anna, her fellow caregivers and volunteers knew Moose's potential, and they knew it could be hard for potential adopters to recognize. During Moose's time at Best Friends, they saw how Moose's anxious barking and behavior made people exclaim, "Oh, he's way too much." But Anna says, it's important to understand that the kennel environment is not the normal home environment. She says the best thing that adopters can do is talk with staff and learn about the dog like the Stoneys did. With some work, consistency, and love, the sixth time was the charm. The Stoneys found an amazing addition to their family, the kind, friendly, playful Moose. For a homeless pet, there's not much better than finally having a family, and you can give them that. Adopt or foster near you. You have been listening to All About Pets on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on your specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Tammy Frazee saying goodbye from Owl Radio. Go out and make it a great day.